Our scripture reading today is Psalm 133. Just before I read it, I'm going to read it twice. A little explanation. I don't know how many of you know, but as pastors, we often use what's known as the lectionary. Each week we're given four or five different passages to choose from. Sometimes we'll use two or three of them. And there's always a psalm. But very seldom do you ever hear the psalm preached. Usually it's used as part of the liturgy. But when I read one psalm, Psalm 133, it kind of spoke to me, but I still was going to just use it as part of the liturgy. And then that afternoon in centering prayer, each week we read a psalm before we go to a time of meditation of silence. We always pick a psalm out of this little book called Psalms for Praying. And we usually do it randomly. And that afternoon, Bill was reading, and he opened it and picked a psalm. And he picked 133. And suddenly, I'm thinking, for some reason, I'm supposed to preach this psalm. So I did. And I'm going to read it to you today first in the New Revised Standard, which is the pew Bible that we always use. It's a short psalm. How very good and pleasant it is when kindred live together in unity. It is like the precious oil on the head running down upon the beard, on the beard of Aaron, running down over the collar of his robes. It is like the dew of Hermon, which falls on the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord ordained his blessing, life forevermore. The second version is from this book, Psalms for Praying, and it's written in a language that is more modern, more up to date. And I think the psalms in this book, I love the translations. They're very beautiful. Listen now to this psalm from Psalms for Praying. Behold how good and pleasant it is when brothers and sisters dwell in unity. It is like vistas seen from atop a mountain one has climbed, or like the stillness of a sunset after a long day's work. It is like a shimmering rainbow breaking through a summer rain. When men and women dwell in harmony, the star of truth appears. For the word in creation, for the word in scripture, for the word within us. Thanks be to God. Unity. That's a diverse word. In fact, I looked up the word unity because this is the word that spoke to me in this psalm. I have to tell you, I chose this before the happenings of the last couple weeks where it's become more and more obvious. Not just because of Virginia, but because of so many things going on around the country, what a lack of unity there is. And there's actually numerous definitions of unity. The two that I picked that really I felt spoke to us as a church were one is the lack of diversity. But the other one was coming together as one. Paul, in his letter to the Corinthians, talked about the body of Christ. Not that we are all alike. There is much diversity in the body of Christ. He talked about how important it is that all the body parts are there, that they come together in unity. And yet so often in the church, we seem to go more to that lack of diversity. It's often been said that Sunday morning is probably one of the most segregated days of the week, because when you look around the church, so often there isn't a lot of diversity. And yet that's what we are called from Paul in the New Testament, and yes, indeed Jesus, to work towards getting that unity even when there is diversity. That's an important thing in the church. It's something that we have been trying to figure out how to do for so long. This last General Assembly, they passed the new confession for our Book of Confessions, which is not done easily. The last one, I believe, was in 1967, and they had tried to put this one in several years ago, and it didn't pass. It's called the Belhar Confession. It's a wonderful, wonderful confession. It came out of actually South Africa shortly after apartheid was ended. The church down there wrote this confession, but it's a confession I think speaks to us in this church, in this, not just this church, but in the Presbyterian church, but in all of the church. And I want to read you, this is a little book that was put out by the HPCUSA to study it, and it breaks it down into many different parts. And the day I want to hone in on was actually the one that was written for Psalm 133. That was the psalm to be read with it. Is unity as a gift and obligation. And what they wrote is, in so many places throughout the world, humanity finds ways to divide along race, class, caste, ethnicity, religion, and other humanly created boundaries. We use these boundaries to create social structures that are committed to maintaining systems of division and hostility. In both the United States and South Africa, these structures were undergirded by theologies developed by Christian theologians who argued that it was God's intention that humanity be separated, particularly along racial lines, and that white supremacy was divinely ordered. The Confession of Belhar denounces each theology as heresy and reminds us that God gives us the gift of unity, even though this unity is often distorted by human brokenness. Therefore, we are called to work for the full realization of this gift. However, unity is not a passive acceptance of unjust systems for the sake of a false peace. It is the hard work of dismantling of systems that divide and subjugate sisters and brothers, and building societies marked by justice and love. We live between the promise of the reign of God and Jesus the Christ and the fulfillment of that reality on earth as it is in heaven. What a word to us. We in the church who speak often of unity, who speak of love, of trying to work together, have become such a diverse place at times, and yet we're working very hard to break down that lack of diversity. I remember about 10 or 12 years ago, we've had many things in the church that have divided us. If you ever look at a graph of the Presbyterian Church, it's very telling. From the very time this country was started, this graph separates, joins, separates, joins. And every time it's about different issues. One of those is the leadership of women in the church. There were five or six different denominations that broke off from the Presbyterian Church because they didn't agree with putting women in leadership of the church. And that's not just as pastors. That was as elders in the church. It has not been that many years ago since there was major division in the church over this very idea that women could be full members of the church and act as leaders. One of the big divisions in the Presbyterian Church happened back around the time of the Civil War. The North and the South, it split into two Presbyterian churches, the North and the South, over that very issue of slavery. Probably the most recent, the one most in our minds at this point, is the division over the status of LGBTQ people. First, should they be allowed to be ordained? Should they be allowed full membership? And then, of course, over the division of the issue of marriage. There are so many ways we in the church have sought to divide ourselves, totally against what Scripture teaches, what Jesus taught. Jesus taught that we should be in unity. Paul, in his letters, always talked about unity in the church, working together for the good of the church, but more importantly, for the good of the kingdom of God. We cannot be fully effective unless we live in unity. Our presbytery has often sought for ways to help build that unity. About 10, 12 years ago, when we were in the middle of the major battle over the LGBTQ issue, every time there was a presbytery meeting, they had speakers in what was called a Unity in the Middle of Diversity series. There was always two speakers, and each of them talked about how they felt about their side of the issue. The two speakers were on the opposite side of the issue. But the point was, we were to talk about how we felt, what we believed, what we understood Scripture to be. There's so many ways for people to understand Scripture. I mentioned before I read Psalm 133 that we use the lectionary. Many, many pastors around the world use the lectionary every week, and I can tell you, if you were able to sit in on five or six different churches on a Sunday, or to listen to the sermons that were preached on the same scripture, you would hear very, very different messages. And you might even say, are they really talking about the same scripture? But there are so many ways to understand scripture. And that creates part of this division that we have, this lack of unity. But if we actually try to understand the other's view, to talk, to listen, and that's one of the things we're trying to do here as the church, is to present different views. Several months ago, we brought in Susan Caldwell to talk about her view on what it means to live as a Christian, to be accepting and reaching out to LGBTQ people. That's a way of helping you understand. You may not agree with what she said, but it's important for us to listen to the other people's side, because as we get to understand other people, we have a better chance of living in unity. I want to Bill actually did this the other night at session, so if we're at session, don't share what I'm about ready to do. I want to read you something that might help you understand a little bit about this unity thing. I want to read you a scripture passage. Listen carefully. He said, "I am a messenger from your Lord, only to announce to you, that is Mary, the gift of a righteous son." Mary said, "How shall I have a son when no man has touched me, and I am not immodest?" He said, "It will be so. Your Lord says, that is easy for me, and I wish to appoint you as him as a sign to men and a mercy from me. It is a matter already ordered." So she started to carry baby Jesus in her room, and she went to rest with him in a far place. Anybody have any idea what translation that is? Yeah, Bill put his hand up. He knows. That's actually from the Quran. Anybody surprised? We have come to look at Islam as the totally other, somebody that we have nothing in common with, and yet those are words from the Quran talking about Jesus, telling Mary that she's getting ready to have this special baby. And yet we see them as totally the other. If we take the time to reach out to get to know other people better, it might help us understand them. Doesn't mean we have to agree with them. Unity doesn't mean we have to agree with everybody the other person believes, but it means we are willing to work together for a common cause, and that is for us, for love and peace. United. That's a word that comes from unity. We live in a country that has as its name the United States. If we go with that understanding that we all are a part of the body, yes, of the church, but also of this country that's made up of many diverse people, that as we seek to understand other people, we get to live better. Not always agreeing with who they are, what they believe, but at least understanding that they are God's children, and that as we reach out to them, they can understand us better too. One of the things that your Church Vitality Committee is talking about, it's still in the planning stages, is trying to do a series of dinners. These would be in people's homes. People would sign up to be able to do this, and we would create groups. Not those people that go out together with each other all the time or in all the meetings together each time, but people that don't necessarily know each other other than to see them sitting in a pew across the church. A chance to get to know people, to know what they did or do for a living, what they believe, what they care about. That's what working towards unity and diversity is. That can make this church stronger if we get to know each other better, other than just a face that you see on Sunday morning. What can we do to make this church stronger? But more importantly, what can we do to make this world a better place? Think about this. How many of you know somebody from another religion? Good. We do have a fair number of people that do. How did you happen to get to do that? Are they your neighbor? Did you reach out to them? We had the opportunity several months ago to go to a mosque, sit down and eat dinner with people of the Muslim faith. They reached out to us, actually. They invited us to come to their mosque on a Friday night to join them. The imam stood up and spoke for a while, and a young woman who's a part of that mosque also spoke. It was an incredible experience hearing them talk about their faith, talk about their dreams. Their dream is the same dream we should have, and that's a world where we can all live together. We have developed so much hate in this country and in this world. There's been so much violence, but violence only breeds violence. We need to be a part of that answer of looking for ways to reach out in peace. I look at the violence, and it's not all physical violence. If you're on Facebook, you know there's a lot of verbal violence going on also. We need to not be a part of that. We need to be reaching out to say to people, we want to get to know you better. We want to make a world a better place where there's not this hatred. Not just about race. Not just about other religions. Not even about other Christian religions, because you know what? There's a lot of hatred between different Christian religions. I'm sorry to say, because we can't agree that the central unifying message of Christianity, and indeed about other religions, is love. Bill and I are in a Friday night group, and some of our other friends from there are in that Friday night. We're doing a book right now called 12 Steps to a Compassionate Life. It was written by Karen Alexander. And the first chapter, what she did was she took all the different religions and pointed out within those religions the golden rule. Everybody knows the golden rule. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you, or don't do to others what you wouldn't have them do to you. There's different versions of it. But within every one of the major religions in the world, there is a form of the golden rule. That is what they're teaching. And yet, because of so much hatred and violence between the religions, we have managed to get people not focusing on that. But you know, it's a small number of the radicals that are committing the violence. It's a small number of Muslims that are committing violence. And they're doing that out of frustration because there's a long history of violence against Muslims, and they've chosen to go that way. But that's never the right way. In the garden, as Jesus was being arrested, when one of the disciples picked up a sword and cut off a man's ear, Jesus said, "No. Put down those swords. Those who live by the sword will die by the sword." And that's the message we need to hear, that we need to take into our hearts and make it a part of who we are. How can we make a difference? How can we as a church reach out and show love? We do it in a lot of ways here. The missions we do are incredible. They are showing love to people. And there's other ways we can do it. We can make the effort, and it doesn't take a lot of energy. We can make the effort to try to reach out to other people, to people of other religions, to people of other races, blacks, Hispanics, Asians, all have been discriminated against. Because unless we do, the church is in trouble, and this country that we love is in trouble. This country was formed with the idea that all people are created equal. All people have a right to happiness and to a good life. Let us as a church listen to the gospel of spreading love and spreading peace, and go out of these walls today looking for ways, whether it be as you go on Facebook and you think about what you share, what you write, what you comment to other people, or for the activities that you're involved in. How can that activity help other people? Who can you reach out to? Because as we do, we will make it a better world. Yesterday morning, I was trying to figure out how to load it into the PowerPoint. Suddenly on Facebook, a song appeared that was made in 1985, hadn't seen it for years. But it's a wonderful, wonderful song. It was actually done by a group of musicians. I believe Michael Jackson was actually the one that put it together, to raise funds for children in Africa. It's "We are the world. We are the children. We are God's children, and it's up to us to make a difference. Because if we do, we can save the world." Amen. Please be seated. Now, as the ushers prepare to come forward to receive our tithes and offerings, please join me in offering our resources and ourselves. The earth is the Lord's and all that is in it, the world and we who live in it. Freely we have received, and freely we give. Let us return to God the offerings of our life and the gifts of the earth. Please join me in our prayer of thanksgiving and dedication. Blessed are you, O God, maker of all things. Through your goodness, you have blessed us with these gifts, ourselves, our time, and our possessions. Use us and what we have gathered in feeding the world with your love. Amen. Cheryl, before I do the charge, I just want to thank you. It's been wonderful having you here with us. Betty will be back with us next week, but we look forward to having Cheryl at Christmas time. So thank you, Cheryl. Now, remember, each of you are a part of the body of Christ. Whether it be the legs, the arms, the eyes, all of us need to be the heart. This week, as you go out into the world, remember, you are called to be disciples of Christ, to spread the word of love and peace throughout the world. Now may the grace of our love, Jesus Christ, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, and the love of God be with each of you this week and forevermore. Amen.